Why don't you open up your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You know, the Bible is a gathering of many books. 66, to be almost exact. Over a lot of generations, hundreds, thousands of people have come together to say the same thing. That God is alive, He is good, He gave His Son for human beings that they might know Him. This isn't just a history book, it's not just literature. This Bible is the living Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
This book is actually active, and it actually does something when you read it. It actually comes alive and jumps off the pages into your heart and produces faith when you read the Word of God. Amen. So this is the number one selling book in heaven and on earth. Amen. Everybody in heaven's reading this book and just looking at it and saying, oh my goodness, I wish I could be on earth. All the angels wanted to be humans. We are a glorified creation. Amen. This is a good book. So I encourage you to read your word, get in your word. I put all my scriptures on my paper tonight. It's still the Word of God. So I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5. You just stay there. You just stay there. Just stay there. Don't go anywhere. Sometimes, there's this, me and Christina were just talking yesterday about this little Shih Tzu. I hate this dog. And when you tell them to stay there, they just don't listen. Just don't let you. Stay there. It's probably the dumbest dog I've ever seen. They call him Jackson. When I first saw him, I was excited because he's kind of a cute little Shih Tzu. You know, he's black. So I started calling him Jackson 5.
Yeah.
I made him dance. We had this this wood floor, and so, or my in-laws do, and so I would take him, and once I started hating the dog because he peed so much on the floor, I was like, "You're gonna dance," and I just slide him across the floor. He's like, "Boom!" And just hit up against the wall, and he took off running. And you think I'm serious, Matt? I'm serious. I did it. I'm serious. But, you know, we're good friends. Every time he sees me, he squats and pees. And I can't stand it. You know, this dogs that just don't know how to stay put, or dogs that just pee everywhere, they're not dogs. They're lower than dust. And they don't deserve to be around me. Come on. I'm preaching it now. You know, the Bible talks about taking care of animals, and I try to do the best I can. One time I came downstairs at my friend Maya Ridgeway's house. Maya, raise your hand back there on the corner. There he is. He's got a dog. His name is Smokey. And I came down at like 3 in the morning, and Smokey was standing up on his hind legs eating some yogurt out of the refrigerator. You remember that, Maya? You don't believe me, but okay. You know what? You just say it, Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 12. Says this: Now the Lord had said to Abram, that's as cool and amazing in and of itself, that God said to a man, come on, God spoke to a human being. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Say amen.
Amen.
Father, tonight we thank you that because we believe in Jesus, we are children of Abraham, God, and we receive all your blessings, God, that you would make us into a great nation, God, that you would make our name as followers of Jesus great in all the earth, God, that you would bless us, and everything we put our hands to would be blessed, and it would prosper, God, that you would give us favor, and God, you would multiply in us and through us. God, we thank you that we are not just dusty, nasty, disgusting people. God, you've called us to glorious things. God, I thank you that you have spoken to us. God, through your word and through your living word, God, we accept you. We love you tonight. God, tonight we choose to glorify you. Jesus. Jesus, we glorify you. Jesus, you are first. Could you just say that name? Just whisper his name. Jesus. Come on, there's power in the name of Jesus. We have authority to call on Jesus. And he will respond to us because we are his people. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, meet us here tonight. Open up your hearts to receive what God has for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are alive. We love you tonight. We love you tonight. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when I was younger, I came from Anchorage. I don't know why that's funny, but I do remember. I was about 7 years old. I lived on the hillside right over here, right off of Lone Tree. I lived in a big house. My dad was a doctor, and I used to go to Hilltop since I was like three, in Alyeska. We had awesome snow machines and dirt bikes. And my dad had, when I was growing up, he had like six or seven vehicles, a lot of vehicles, just nice rigs, Corvettes, and Mercedes and Lexuses. And I don't know why he had them all, he just did. And so I grew up kind of in that culture where I was kind of raised really wealthy. So I moved to Willow, and you guys know where Willow is. It's in the boonies. And I go to Willow, and I go to school at Willow. And I remember my mom dropped me off in a brand new Suburban. And I remember a lot of people there didn't even drive. They just actually walked to school. And I was just, man, I was confused. What was going on here, and why people weren't living like very wealthy, and I didn't really understand because I was raised where I had any kind of food at my fingertips. It doesn't look like it, but any kind of food, I had any kind of vehicle. When I was seven, I wasn't driving, but snow machines. I got my first snow machine at six. That was just kind of like how I was raised, and I remember when I went to school this one day, and it was the beginning of the spring, and I remember how amazed and how astounded and how in awe these kids were when they would go and play in the sand. I mean, I had a snow machine at six, and these kids would like play in the sand like they were in heaven. And I remember just thinking, not like judging them, and I look back now and think how arrogant and prideful and what's the word? Spoiled, I was. But I look back and I remember kind of looking at that, and I was just thinking about this as I was kind of paralleling this with the realm of the spirit. And I think that a lot of us, and I think that the majority of Christians today in the church, are amazed with just playing in the sand, playing in a sandbox. They're astounded with playing in a sandbox. God spoke to me last week and said, my church and my people are playing in a sandbox, and they're astounded about a sandbox. But I've called them to build a castle. I've called them to live in a big kingdom. I've called them to receive a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. Jesus came on earth and preached about a heavenly kingdom that was ours, that he would give to us. And people said, where is this kingdom? And he said, it's not over there, over there, it's within you. Jesus came and he declared about this kingdom that we would have, but yet there are all these Christians and people, including myself, where I seem to get caught up and wrapped up in the temporal sandbox when God has this eternal castle, this eternal kingdom for me to live in. I don't want to play in a sandbox. I want to receive all that God has for me. I want to walk in the blessing of Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
From dust, say it with me, from dust. What's wrong with you? Is it dust? Andrew, what are you slurring over there? Say it with me. From dust,
from dust
to glory.
From dust
to glory. Romans chapter 5, I'm sure you're there. Chapter 5, verse 17. Paul's writing to the Romans. He says, "For if because of one man's," who's the one man? Adam, right? "Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one." You hear what he's saying? Because of one man's sin, because of his one disobedience, death, or I could say dust, temporal, just normal, just usual, mediocre, reigned through that one man. And so from man to man to man, they were satisfied with dust. They were satisfied with a sandbox. They were satisfied with a normal lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? From one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more surely, with those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a right standing with God. So those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of God's righteousness reign as kings. This is the Amplified Version. They reign as kings. Jesus didn't just save us. He wants to give us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And when the man of God, John, when he wrote the book of John, he says that when Jesus came, he came full of grace and truth. And we have all received his grace and grace and grace. And we receive the fullest measure of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor and power in your life, working in you and through you to bless you. To bless you. Isn't that good news? Those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What are we passionate about? Jesus Christ. We're passionate about Jesus. One man came. He came in the form of a man. He came incarnate. He came, God came and wrapped himself in a human body. Okay? And he walked on this earth without sin. He walked in freedom, and he carried power, and he carried a kingdom, and he set people free, and he even rose people from physical death many times. He healed sick. He cast out devils. He spoke with authority and power. He loved people. He was accused for loving and hanging out with sinners. And Jesus was accused again and again of being blasphemous. And so the Jews and others put him on a cross and killed him. And he died. And he died, and he was actually dead for 3 days in his physical body. The Bible says that he rose again. The Bible says that he rose again. And we have experienced, anybody experienced that he rose again?
Yeah.
I've experienced that Jesus rose again. And if we're going to be a youth ministry, we're not going to play in a sandbox. We're going to build on Jesus Christ because he has the power to rise again. Some people say, "I want to be immortal." Well, you are immortal. You're going to go to hell or heaven. But we are who in Christ have been risen again with Jesus. And Ephesians 2 says that we have been raised with him to life. In other words, we have been born again with him. Okay, then it says we have been risen with him, or we ascended into heaven with him. And then it says that we were seated together with him in heavenly places. In other words, that your spirit, when you believed on Jesus and you received him as your Lord and as your Savior, your spirit came alive and you were seated in heavenly places. That's good news. Over all authority and all power and any dominion, you are seated above all those things. Well, I just don't know. Well, you just got to believe. And we just got to believe and accept that God's grace is not just this little thing that kind of kicks us out of the sandbox and says, good luck. But God's grace picks us up and sets us into a kingdom. Come on. Sets us into a kingdom and says, I want you to walk in this kingdom and bring this kingdom to a sandbox. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. We're looking at the difference between the temporal and the eternal.
the temporal and the eternal. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, say,
I have been raised with Christ.
It says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, if you're saved, if you call yourselves a Christian, then set your heart and your mind, aim your attention to things above, not things that are temporal. You see what I'm saying? That your focus, your attention in life when you wake up in the morning is not on all the frustrations and all the worries and anxieties that you have, but your meditations and your hearts, come on, would be on what God has already accomplished in heaven. And that Jesus already overcome death, hell, and the grave, and all of our sin, and we have that ability to do that, but we have to choose what we're going to set our hearts on and what we're going to set our minds on. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. The Bible says also in Philippians, I think, it says that we are, our citizenship is in heaven. The Lord said to me, Gabriel, your citizenship isn't in Anchorage, Alaska. Your citizenship isn't at Generation Ministries. Your citizenship is not your family. Your citizenship is not Alaska. Your citizenship is not, your citizenship is the kingdom of heaven. You can go, you see, now that you're born again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that you're a new creation. Say that with me. I am
a new creation.
So when you're a new creation, you don't do the same things you used to do. See, when you were an old creation, or when you were just dust playing in a sandbox, you know what you did? You ate things of dust. But now you're a new creation. I got a scripture for you. Well, we're going to read this one more time. Colossians 3, verse 3. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new life, your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. So we are now hidden with Christ in God. And so before we used to eat and receive spiritual, temporal things. Our satisfaction was when we were tired and weary, we would go read a cool little book, or we would go watch a movie that made us laugh. But now as new people, as a new creation, we have a new food. We have a new storehouse. And that storehouse is not on earth. That storehouse is in heaven. We can drink from the river of God. There's a river in heaven. There is a source for us to drink from. There is a tree for us to eat from. There is life. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. If you eat of those things, you will have life. This is the difference between temporal and eternal. Your citizenship is in heaven. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes from the sandbox. You know, I remember when I came from Anchorage and I went to Willow, I started getting comfortable with the sandbox. I started getting comfortable with getting all my clean clothes dirty, staining my white t-shirt. You know, God doesn't want us to stain our white t-shirts. God's given us a new man, a new woman. We're clean and pure. God doesn't want us to stain it again. He doesn't want us rolling around in the sandbox. Oh, look, guys. You know, I don't know what this is, but I'm just going to do it. I don't know. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you, say me, I also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. One day Jesus Christ is going to return. Whether that's in our time or whether it's in another time, one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to be with him in the splendor of his glory. You are an eternal being. If you believe in Christ and you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a follower of God, you're a new creation. And if you've wondered why you feel weary, because you have a new man and it needs new food. And you can't last on the food from yesterday. You got to go every day and go get that new manna. See, that the people of Egypt, or the people of the Israelites who are walking through the desert, God told them to come every day and get the new manna. Don't store up manna. Go get the new manna every day, just enough for that day, and eat of that food, because I'll provide for you the next day. And so we can't just rely on a summer camp 3 years ago. We can't rely on our Word of God that we heard or read last week. And we can't rely on a message that we heard over a podcast 6 months ago. We have to go every day to the eternal Word of God. Like Reed was saying, it's alive, it's active, and it's going to produce something on the inside of me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lift up your eyes. Let's lift up our eyes together as a people. Let's behold that God has something eternal for us. Whether you're in Alaska, or whether you're in Oregon, whether you're in Florida, whether you're in China, whether you speak French or you speak Spanish or English, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and there's a new food for us to take part of. Amen? And that is as amazing as that we live in a generation where the Word of God has been given and written, and that we can read it anytime we want. We live in America. People die for this Bible across the world. They gave their life that this Bible would be brought into China and underground churches, and we sit, let it sit on our shelves and get dusty. This is the glory and the power of God in our own hands. I just have to believe it and receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So come on, we are eternal beings. You're not made for dust. You're made for glory. You're not made for temporal things. You're made for eternal things. Because God wants bigger and greater things for you. But we can't sit in a sandbox and mess around. Right, Jesse Brady? Right? Come on, baby. I don't want to sit in a sandbox when God's got this kingdom for me. Christian, we got to get a word picture of that. I think we can make some graphics that look something like that. I was just thinking of a kid who's just playing in a sandbox. I was trying to read about this. And in the background, and the kid's just playing in the dirt. He's on his hands. And in the background, there's this big castle. This big castle. You should pull some together like that. You know, stick it up and give us a visual. Give us a visual. Because you know what? I'm passionate about bringing people, including myself, every day. You know, I can't lead you, and I can't lead people if I can't lead myself. The Bible says that you have given the ministry of reconciliation. And you can't reconcile, or you can't bring other people to God and bring peace between other man and other people if you aren't first reconciled to God yourself. And so you got to lead yourself before you lead anybody else. And so I have a passion in this youth ministry, and our leaders have a passion in this youth ministry, that we wouldn't sit in a sandbox, but we would walk in the kingdom, and we'd be the kingdom of God to Anchorage, Alaska. That we would take the kingdom of God into our families that are broken, that are hurting. You know, I remember, I've told this testimony a few times, but I just think it's amazing, because I got saved, and I was radical, and so I started telling my whole family about Jesus, and they said they already knew it. But my little brothers were concerned, and they're like, what is this thing that he's talking about? He's a different person. He ain't the same guy. I said, that's right, I ain't the same guy. Tell me again. I need to hear it again. I ain't the same guy. And so I started just talking with my little brother, and one day he said, I want what you want. I want what you got. I said, what is that? He said, you got joy, you got life, you're just full of love. I said, well, not all the time, but I'll give you whatever I got if his name is Jesus. He's like, Jesus? I know about Jesus. No, you don't know about Jesus. This is Jesus. And I prayed for him, and he began to believe, and he had faith, and then he married a girl, and they got a baby, and their whole family are Christians now, and they're starting to come to this church, and they're serving God. And so I just started living. I just brought the kingdom of God to my family, and I'm believing that God's going to save my whole family. I'm not worried and doubt. Whenever I start to quiver, whenever I start to waver in my faith, I just say, God, I believe that you're going to save my family. You're going to deliver them. You're going to take them from their place of where they are, and you're going to bring them into the kingdom. I'm just going to keep believing, because I'm not going to look at the temporal things. I'm going to believe that God's got something bigger for me and for my family. And whether you go to a Christian school or a public school, or whether you go to UAA or you go to Wayland Baptist, God wants to bring the kingdom into your public systems that we live in, into your school. God wants to raise up leaders in this generation. God wants to raise up leaders in each school. And in UAA, God wants to raise up leaders, ambassadors that go in with the gospel and preach the good news that Jesus is alive. That Jesus is alive. And just tell somebody about it. Hey, I got some good news. Do what? Yeah, what? Jesus is alive. Well, amen. And well, how do I? Well, let me show you. Can I pray for you? Yeah. bam, and give him some glory. Look, God wants to raise up leaders in this generation. Look, this generation wasn't made for dust. Amen? This generation wasn't made just to kind of make it by. No, but there's 60 leaders in this room. There's more than enough leaders in this room to change this city.
Yeah.
Our leadership team is believing for 60 leaders. 60 leaders before the end of this year. We need 60 leaders because we're going into schools. We're going into families. We're going to change this city. But it starts with being faithful with few. Come on. Jesus pours life into 11 men. In the process of 30 years, the gospel, I've covered the whole Middle East because 11 men said, I'm not going to sit around and be a fisherman. I'm going to go carry this good news because I'm a fisher of men. And that's my calling. Whether you're called to be a businessman or a pastor, we're all fishers of men. Our job is to build an eternal kingdom, not our own kingdoms. Amen. I'm just getting started. So 1 Corinthians, we want to build on eternal things. Things that last forever.
Yeah.
Last forever. 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says this. We know about it. Read about it. Talk about it. It says three things last forever. Three things last forever. He was so compelled and convicted to say three things last forever. Faith. Say it with me. Faith. Hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. But he says that three things remain. Faith, three things last forever. Faith, hope, and love. These three things are eternal substances that should be seen through your life. They're not just a feeling. Let me tell you something. Faith isn't a feeling. Love isn't a feeling. That's phileo love. That's another kind of love. But we have agape love. Agape love is unconditional. Doesn't matter whether you serve me back or not. I'm just going to love you because he loved me. And hope is not in what is seen, but is in what is unseen. So we're going to start with faith. Because I want to talk about these three things, about building on eternal things. Building on and putting our life in eternal things. Faith is being fully persuaded that God is more than able. Faith, what's faith? It's being persuaded that God is more than able to do what he says. Remember Abraham, Romans chapter 4, remember that? Abraham was like, well, actually it's in the book of Genesis, but it says it again in Romans, where Paul is teaching about Abraham and how he said that he was supposed to have a baby. Remember, Abraham was supposed to have a baby? Abraham was supposed to have a baby. And he was like 99 years old and his wife was like 90, way past childbearing age. But God said, I'm going to give you a son. And through him, the earth will be blessed. And through his seed, I will give my promises. So you know what Abraham did? He didn't go play in a sandbox. Did he? He didn't go spend his life on temporal things, did he? Bible says it. No, Romans chapter 4, I think it's 18 and 19. No, he didn't waver in his faith. He didn't have unbelief, but he gave glory to God because he considered that he was more than able to do that which he had promised. Amen. And so we're talking about, well, Gabriel, you're telling me you want 60 leaders. I don't know. Well, I don't want to hear I don't know. I want to hear, and what we need to say is yes and amen. Because we are a people who God has put inside of us the spirit of multiplication. Well, I don't know if I like big churches. Well, God likes big church because there's going to be a big party in heaven. He wants the biggest church that he can get. All right? I want a big church. Anybody else want a big church?
Yeah.
Big church, bigger praises of God. Sing louder and louder for God. Make more noise. Maybe the light bulbs will fall down or something. Just start shaking things. Moving things. God wants to multiply through us. And so I'm encouraging each one of us inside of this room. God's speaking things to you, and I want to encourage you, don't waver. Don't disbelieve. Don't question. Well, I don't know. Shut up. You can do it. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can be someone of influence. You can lead somebody to Jesus. Yes, you can lead somebody to Jesus. Because it's not in who you are. It's because God's Word is powerful. And our faith isn't in, well, I don't know if I got a voice like that man. Or I don't know if I can do it like that girl. No, but that's not my faith. My faith is in that word right there. I've seen it work, and I've seen it create power and do something inside of somebody's heart, and they've never been the same. So we just got to say what Jesus said. Hey, I'm alive. Touch the holes in my hands. Look at the, I got a hole in my side. Jesus says, blessed are those, more blessed are those who haven't seen yet still believe. And that's us. The Bible says that we don't necessarily even see Him, but we still choose to love Him. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to choose to just believe. Not just because, well, I just want to just try and believe. No, but because I've experienced God. I've experienced God. Somebody tell me to get back to my notes.
Back to your notes.
Romans chapter 10. So we want faith. Faith is a substance. Faith is something we want to receive. Look, the Bible says that faith is more precious than gold refined by fire. It's more. Your faith is more precious than any gold or anything that's refined by fire. Okay? Your faith, say my faith, is more precious. Come on, it's more precious than a sandbox. Your faith is precious. And if you want to build your faith, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Gabriel, I want to grow my faith. I don't know if I can do this. Then you need to hear and read this word. And right now, as I speak to you, you can choose whether or not you're going to hear and receive this, what I'm saying to you, or you can hear and receive this and say, amen, yes, and amen. I'm going to keep receiving the word of God because there's a substance being built. I can't explain it, but I'm starting to see things in the spirit, and God's going to change this city. Amen. So we're going to build our faith simply by hearing the word. Hallelujah. Hearing the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. I love the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this. You, say I, have been born again. Not from a mortal origin. Not from sperm or a seed. See, we were born again from that before. We were made alive as a human being by a seed. Okay.
I'm trying to be holy in church.
I said sperm. That's what it says in my Bible, man. I was preaching the word. You have been born again, not from a mortal origin, but from one that is immortal, by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Gabriel, how was I born again? Well, you heard the word of the gospel. You received it. It was planted in some good soil. And all of a sudden, a little sprout came out and some fruit started popping. And you were saved, not from a temporary thing. Not because you were playing some video game and you just got saved because of this video game or because of some movie you were watching. But you got saved because you heard the word of God. It was put on the inside of your heart. And it developed and produced faith. Okay, so that seed needs something else to produce more faith. You know what it is? It's more word. I want to grow my faith. Well, just start. Give me this real quick. Let's wake up. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect. Exiles of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification and the setting apart of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. God set me apart to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Wow, I just received that word and all of a sudden my faith is growing because I'm going to start not just reading a word and walking away and not putting it into practice, but I'm going to read my word every day, wake up, get that manna. It's going to produce faith. because I'm just going to keep hearing it and hearing it. And why do I want to miss a GM on a Thursday night? Because there's a preaching of the word and it produces faith in my heart, because I got to go out into a nasty world, into a nasty school. Sometimes I got to go home to a nasty family, and I got to bring this love. I got to bring this power. I got to bring this peace and joy to my family. But I need faith. Well, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so if you want faith, you got to make a choice. What's that choice? I got to read my Word. And don't just read it. Me and my wife, we read the Bible together every once in a while. And we try to do it most often in the mornings we can. But most of the time when I read it out loud. And I start preaching to myself. Man, I have the best preaching in my own closet.
Yeah.
You know what? If you neglect the closet, your spirit will die. Don't neglect the closet. What the heck does that mean? Don't neglect getting alone with Jesus. This is good. This is once a week. And then there's a My Pod another time a week. And then there's church on Sunday. That's three times a week. But every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got to hear the Word of God for yourself. Because your faith needs something. It's a substance. It's hungry. So what do? We read it. We eat it. We meditate on it. I love it. For all flesh, it says, you have been born again, not from a mortal origin, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. For all flesh, mankind is like grass. It's like dust. All men are like dust. All its glory and honor, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers drop off. But the word of the Lord, the divine instruction, the gospel endures forever. And this word is the good news which was preached to you. Come on, say it with me.
I am
going to read my word.
Every day.
I will.
Read my word.
Come on, we got to read our word. Amen. Three things at last: faith, hope, and love. We got to build our faith. It's precious. It's precious. You know what the goal of your faith is? The Bible says the goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, we were reading earlier, Hebrews 10:39, that if you don't believe, that if you have disbelief, God isn't pleased with those who fall back and don't believe, but He's pleased with those who believe and are saved. And so if you're starting to fall back and waver, God isn't pleased. But you know how you can change that? You say, you know what, Lord? I can't feel it, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. And I'm going to read my word. I'm going to read it until something happens. Until I encounter you. Until I just start wrestling with you and with this word. Until I'm never the same. Amen? Amen. So let's build our faith. Let's read our word. Second one is hope. It's a substance. Hope, I gave a definition here. It's persevering for God's promises with the full expectation of their fulfillment. Persevering for God's promises with the full expectation of their fulfillment. God has promises for you. Say for me. Well, I hope you guys don't mind if I go over. I got some things I got to say.
Come on.
Jeremiah 29:11. You've heard it. You've highlighted it. You've read it. But do you believe it? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Gabriel, how do I know what God thinks about me? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. That's a promise of God. That He thinks about you and He's thinking, how can I give this one a future and a hope? Actually, He's all like, this is what I'm going to do about His future and His hope, and it's good. Yeah. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's another promise. He's going to listen to me. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. God has a future for you.
There are promises for you to receive.
The greatest promise for us to receive is the salvation of our souls. The greatest promise for you to receive is that you will rise again one day when you die. When your physical dust dies, your flesh that is like grass, when it falls off and it dies, okay? Your spirit will raise again with Christ. Amen? Amen. That's good news. The Bible says to set your hope fully. Say fully.
Fully.
It's in 1 Peter 1 also. It says set your hope fully on the grace of God that will be revealed to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Set your hope fully. Where is my hope supposed to go? That one day, say one day. One day, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I'm going to rise again with Him, and I'm going to sit with Him. I'm going to commune with Him. I'm going to know Him. That's a good day. That's a happy day. Amen? Amen. So that's where our hope is set. But we don't just stop there. Romans 8:24 says, "But hope is hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." I want to share this with real quick. That it's important that when you're leading in a ministry, you're leading a family, you're leading a relationship, you're in any place of leadership, and you're believing God for something, that your hope is not in what is seen. Well, this week, not too many people showed up. This week, not too many people raised their hands to worship. This week, not too many people came to my MyPod. MyPod leaders, don't get discouraged by numbers. Your hope is not in what is seen. But when more people come, our faith is increased, right? But don't be discouraged by what is seen. Your hope is not in what is seen. When you start ministering to your family and nothing's happening, your hope is not in what is seen. When you start talking and you're trying to invite your friend to church, or you start to tell somebody about Jesus at school, and nothing's happening, your hope is not in what is seen. The past 5 years, I've been ministering to my family, hoping and believing that something's going to happen. And there's been ups and downs. But my faith is not like this. And my hope is not like this. My hope is like this. And it stays steady, because I'm going to believe that He is more than able to do that which He promised. Amen? So I'm going to believe. God's given our leaders a vision. You know what? It's amazing, though, that He's given about the same vision to all of us. That's not just normal. That's unique. In other words, God wants to do something in this ministry. In other words, God really does want to multiply. In other words, God really does want to see this city have a revival. Amen? Because God's put it on the inside of Gabrielle's heart, on Andrew's heart, on Andrew Meisner and Quentin and my wife and Christina and leaders in our ministry and Rita Mariah and all of our 412. And there's even some of you here tonight, you're not even a leader in our ministry and you got a hope for UAA and what God's going to do. And Paige got a heart for people at UAA also, and there's things that she wants to see, but don't be discouraged by what you see or don't see. But have hope that God's going to do what He said He's going to do through you. And so we have to do that. We got to continue to believe that God's going to do what He said and not be wavered. Well, I don't know. Last week there was this many. Now this week there's this many. Well, in my pod or my small group, this happened and somebody just left. Whatever. Not in what is seen, but in what is unseen. Come on, come on. You know what? I heard it one time. I was sitting there praying and I was talking to my wife and I said, honey, I just feel like God's talking to me about, you know what? If my dreams aren't bigger than me, they're not God-sized dreams. If I can do them by myself, then they're not God-sized dreams. And she says, that's funny, because I was just at a conference, and that's the whole thing's been about. And I said, well, God's doing something, and this was this last week. God's speaking something about to His church. Hey, if your dreams are here, if your dreams are a little sandcastle, God's got a castle for you to build out of gold. Amen. There's potential in you. There's something on the inside of you. Don't bury it. Don't stick your head in the sand like an ostrich. Pull your head out of the sand. Clean yourself off. Run to the mercy seat. Receive forgiveness and then start walking to the castle and start building and bringing people alongside of you. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He says to Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. Give you a great name. I'll bless you.
God wants for us to rule. He wants for us to reign. And if He wants for us to be righteous. Blessings come and favor comes because we're righteous in God's sight. A great name gives us the ability to reign and rule. Gives us authority. And a great nation is a promise that God's going to multiply. These are promises for you. Young man, young woman, I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You have the Spirit of God in you. And you have the ability to multiply. You have the ability to build God's kingdom. You have the ability to see people get healed. You have the ability to see people raised from the dead. You have the ability to lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. You have the ability to lay your hands on somebody and see them get filled with the Holy Spirit, with the edification of speaking in tongues and gifts falling on their heart, and they would never be the same. You have the ability because God is on the inside of you. Man, I wonder, what if Abraham would have said, you know what, I'm just going to stay in my country. What if Noah said, God, I'm not going to build an ark. You know? Bunch of fish running around. Bunch of birds flying. Bunch of elephants like, where's the ark at, dog? You know, calling for an ark. There ain't no ark anywhere, dude. Noah, I know you're around here somewhere. Noah's just like, I'm playing with sand. And you know what? There's something God's put on each side of each one of you that you're supposed to accomplish something for God's kingdom. You're supposed to accomplish something for God's church. You're supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And don't just say, I'm not going to build the ark. No, you're going to build an ark and you're going to bring as many people from your high school, from your MyPod, from your family, from this city into that ark. You're saying, come on in. Don't worry about the door. God's going to shut it. We're going to go to heaven. God's going to protect us because God is faithful. Amen. What if Moses would have said, God, I don't know if I can go into that. Actually, he did. God, I don't know. God's like, shut up. You're going. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take God. I can't speak. Yes, you can. I'm going to give you your brother, and he's going to speak for you. Don't worry about it. Okay. But what if Moses had said, no, I ain't going. And he stayed out in the dust, stayed out in the sand. Just playing with some sheep. You know? What if that happened? I feel like we're at a zoo right now. You know, we got dogs and cats and fish walking around. What the heck? Come on, are we doing good right now? Do you feel like your faith is growing? Look, I believe God wants you to lift up your eyes and behold what God has for you. God does not have dust for you. He's got glory for you. He's got glory for you. In these next few weeks, don't miss a week because we're going to talk about how we can receive the glory. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Worship team, if you could make your way up. If you could make your way up, I would really appreciate it. And just play some soft something until we get going. You know what? I believe that right now we are encountering something that is eternal. This is more valuable than you playing your Xbox. This is more valuable than you sitting on the couch watching the television, because a lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are just sitting on their couch watching television and just watching something, and they're saying, well, I don't know, I made a mistake this last week, but you chose to come here, and I guarantee there's many of us in here that have made a mistake this week, but you chose, you know what, I'm going to come anyway because I want to receive God's what He has for me this week. I want to receive. So look, don't miss a week. Come every week and receive all that God has for you, because God has some things for you to receive. Hebrews 11. Now, these are some of our patriarchs. These are some of our heroes in the Bible. Chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. There are some walls in your life that God is calling you to speak to and sing at and shout out that they would fall down. In your school, maybe you're not allowed to be able to preach the gospel, but I want to believe that one day Jesus will be allowed to be able to be preached in the high schools, in the middle schools. Does anybody want to believe that with me? Yeah. I want to believe it. I want to believe it, but I need somebody to believe it with me. Yeah. And our leaders, we believe it. We're all there. We believe that God wants to open up the schools. Give us favor with the principals. Give us favor with our governor. Give us favor that we can step into the schools and preach the gospel. Because they're going to see that young Joe and young Sally and young Erica are being changed. They're going to say, man, this person used to be addicted to drugs, and all of a sudden, boom, they are a new creation, and now they're talking about how much they love people. And they're acting like it. So walls of Jericho falling down.
walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail for me to tell you,
and I'm saying the same thing. I could go on and on and on about all the heroes of the Bible. I could go on and on and on about all the people that did great things in the Bible and how the insignificant, you know, Esther wasn't a very significant lady. She wasn't the best pick. She's just a woman. Just a lady. And she chose to sacrifice her life. She chose to run to the king and plead. She did something supernatural. What more shall I say? The time would fail for me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. You're called to subdue kingdoms. Come on. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. Say, I want to obtain promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. That doesn't sound very fun. Well, others were tortured because they gave up their temporal life for something that was eternal. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They saw that something was greater. God had something greater for them. I want to talk about the last one, and we're going to come and we're going to spend some time encountering God. Love is unconditionally giving oneself for the cause of Christ and others. Did you know that you were made to love Christ? Did you know you were made to love God? You know, some people came up to Jesus a few times and said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What's the best thing that you're asking me to do before I die? What's the number one thing? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor. You're called to love. You're made to love. You're made to receive love and to love. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God has great things for you to do, but the motive is going to be love. And the only way to have love is to receive it from God. Would you stand with me? Don't just stand up in unbelief. Don't just stand up and say, just another altar call. Don't stand up and say, I don't know if God can do it. I've already came to the altar. I've already got excited about what God's going to do. I've already heard the preacher say that I can do great things. Don't waver. Don't question. Let's just close our eyes and open up our hearts right now. Genesis 32 tells us of somebody who risked something. Tells us of somebody who didn't want to play with the temporal things. Genesis 32 tells us about somebody named Jacob. Jacob was frustrated, Jacob was struggling, and he knew God had a call on his life, but he was ignoring it. And he felt a call to cross the river, and he felt a call to take a step, and he started wrestling with somebody. He started wrestling with an angel. An angel looked like a man, and he spoke to him, and he wrestled with him, and he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not letting go until you bless me, Lord. God said, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. And he blessed him. You know what? Jacob walked across the river one way. The Bible says that God hit his hip and he walked away a completely different way. He walked away limping on that hip for the rest of his life. And I believe tonight God wants to wrestle with you. I believe tonight God wants to encounter you. And it's your choice whether or not you can encounter God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, for it is through him that we both, whether we're far away or whether we're really near, we both now have an access by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we are able to approach him. Did you hear that? It is through him, Jesus, that we both, me and you, whether you're really close to God or whether you're really far and you got to cross a really long river, God comes to you tonight and he wants to speak to you tonight and he wants to encounter you tonight. Well, Gabriel, my faith is already strong and I'm already doing good and I already believe. God wants to take you further. God wants to encounter you again tonight. Draw near to him. Draw near to him. Draw near to him.
God's going to release dreams tonight. God's going to release visions tonight. God's going to call you, some of you in this ministry, to be leaders in this ministry. And it might be a process, but I'm encouraging you to be persevering through that process. God's going to speak to you about what you're going to call to do in your family, what you're going to do in your school, what you're going to do in your relationship with your friend. Some of you have visions that died a year ago, and God's going to revamp those visions and revive those visions. God's going to restore you and give you strength once again. Come on, every heart open. I think it's important that we close our eyes, that we don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by the person next to you. Don't get distracted by what's going on around you. Set your heart fully on God, because you have access. You have access to the Father. You have access to the Father. Don't relent. God, we won't relent. Come on, tell Him, God, I won't relent. God, I won't give up. I'm going to receive all You have for me this night. I don't want to play in a sandbox, Lord. I want to walk in Your kingdom, God. I want to see Your kingdom come on earth. I want to see Your kingdom come in this ministry. I want to see You move this ministry forward. I want to see You raise up leaders in Golden View, God. Raise up leaders in Hands 2 Middle School, in Mears, God. In Service, in South, in UAA, in Diamond, in Bartlett, in East and West, God. You're going to come, God. You're going to minister, God. Come on, don't give up. Come on. Come on. If you've been distant, if you've been unbelieving, repent of your unbelief. If you've been questioning God, say, God, forgive me. I believe You're going to work. I believe You're going to do something, God. I believe You're going to change me, Lord. Come on. Come on, Gabriel. I don't see. I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. It's not about what you feel. It's about choosing to confess that Jesus is Lord and receiving what He has for you. I want to open up the altar. I want to open up the altar. Sometimes we need to take an act of faith to say, God, I'm going to come and I'm going to do what You called me to do. I'm going to be obedient. Tonight I want to open the altar to any person. Maybe your vision has failed. Maybe you want new vision. You know what? You just need to encounter God's love tonight. The aisles are open. The front is open. Get out of your comfort zone and encounter the Lord. God, You are good. 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 Come on, you've been in mediocrity. You've been living in you've been lazy lately. You know God's called you to minister. You know God's called you to preach. You know God's called you to build a business. You know God's called you to be holy. Anybody can live unholy. Anybody can wake up Monday through Friday and do anything normal. But God's called you to something supernatural. God's called you to something bigger than yourself. Something that you can't do by yourself. Something that you need His grace and His glory for. Come on. You've been lazy. You've been weary. You've been questioning. You've been unbelieving. Come to the mercy seat of God. Come and confess. Come and encounter God. And don't give up. Thank You, Father. Come on.